Would you please stand for the reading of God's holy word, Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. Jesus was preaching here the Sermon on the Mount, and these were his words. You have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave. Leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As I said last week, Jesus in this sermon was speaking against this idea of Pharisaism, that they were righteous enough to get into heaven. And in the section prior to this, he said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will not see the kingdom of God. You will not enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, you're not a Christian. And I said last week that in order for you to enter through the gates into heaven, you have to possess a perfect righteousness. You have to be perfect, seen by God as perfect. You must possess that perfect righteousness, but you can't. The only way you and I can be seen as righteous is not because we have a good day versus a bad day, or a good week versus a bad week, or a good year versus a bad year, but it's the righteousness of Christ in us, through us, over us, that the Father sees. And it's his perfect righteousness as the second Adam that gives us that righteousness. Jesus then goes on to explain with very detailed application what it means to see a righteousness that is beyond that of the Pharisees. And the first issue that he tackles is the issue of anger. What Jesus said here is something that we truly have a very difficult time believing. It is an outrageous statement that he makes as he compares something that is so known and felt and engaged in by all of us as anger with murder. It's one of those statements that those hearing it had to pause, and you and I, upon reading it, have to pause and say, is Jesus really saying what I think he's saying? Is Jesus really saying that there is murder, meaning to kill another person, to end that person's life, and now he is comparing that in terms of the judgment it receives with this idea of anger that everyone experiences? Insult that we've all done and given to another person? Really? Is Jesus really saying that? Well, it's here recorded for us in the Word. But the temptation for us is to enter into dialogue about what Jesus said and not really take what Jesus said as true and literal, especially as it comes to the application of what he says regarding those who were not reconciled with another. In fact, I'm going to give you the application very clearly, and I know it's extremely bold. But this is what Jesus is saying. If you are giving your gift, if you are in worship, seeking to worship God, and in the midst of that experience, that worship service, you have brought to your mind a relationship which you've wronged another, and reconciliation needs to take place. What Jesus is saying very specifically is, stop worshiping. Leave. Go now and be reconciled with those to whom you are not reconciled. In fact, he would go so far to say, don't come to worship if you are not willing to seek reconciliation with another. When we hear that, we immediately seek to push back. No, that's not what he's saying. He doesn't mean that, because reconciliation is too hard. It's too complicated. It takes too long. That's not what Jesus is really saying. Let me explain it to you, we might say. But I'm telling you, you read the best of commentaries on this text. You take this text and go before your Lord and say, Jesus, what did you really mean? And you will hear from the best minds living this day and from commentaries and commentators who have gone before us that Jesus is serious about this idea of reconciliation. It is not simply about a part of the worship service where if you're not reconciled, you don't have to give a check or write and give a tithe. It's about the whole thing. It's about the heart. And Jesus is literally saying, you aren't willing to reconcile. You're not seeking reconciliation. Stop. Now, go be reconciled. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this. If you are in a state of conscious enmity against another, if you are not speaking to another person, or if you are harboring these unkind thoughts and are a hindrance and an obstacle to the other person, God's word assures you. This isn't Martin Lloyd-Jones' words. It's not Mark Davis's words. God's word assures you that there is no value in your attempted act of worship. No value. There's no value in you coming into this sanctuary if you are not seeking that reconciliation with someone with whom you've wronged. There's no value to it. Here's what it means. If you have not sought that reconciliation, and you keep coming into worship, no matter how great your experience, no matter how deep you feel, no matter how loud you sing, no matter if the expression is with your hands in the air and you sense something great happening, it is as if you are in a soundproof room and God hears nothing. You may look like you're worshiping God. You may feel like you're worshiping God, but God hears nothing. He has perfect noise cancellation technology. And you know what it is? It's noise. It's not worship. He is saying through his words, Jesus, God himself, if you're offering your gift, if you are seeking to worship me, and you've got this brokenness, this unwillingness to reconcile, stop. Leave now your gift at the altar. And there, go. First, verse 24, be reconciled to your brother. And then come again. Then come and offer your gift. And you know what will happen? The doors of that padded room with noise cancellation technology will suddenly open. You will be doing what God has called you to do. But many today are going to hear these words of Jesus and say, that's not required of me because my circumstances are too hard. Mark, you don't understand how deeply broken my marriage is. Mark, you don't understand how difficult my relationship is with my mom or my dad or a sister or a brother. You don't understand how difficult the relationship is with my children or your parents. You don't understand how difficult it is in the church that, yes, I'm in the choir, but there's some choir members I've got a real tension with. We just aren't getting along. You just don't understand what's been done against me. And there's no way Jesus would call me to reconcile that. I would love to meet with you. So would our elders. And you probably do need to meet with someone. And what we might say to you is this. You're right. I don't understand all of the depth of that brokenness. I have my own reconciliation that I must seek. And when it's not reconciled, before I stand in this pulpit, I better go. Don't you think that's true? I must go. But what we would tell you, myself and the elders and pastors of this church, is though we may not understand it fully, don't you believe that Jesus does? Don't you believe that Jesus, the one incarnate who came to walk on this earth, who never sinned, who was there on a cross, hanging, having been nailed there by the hands of men that he made, that he made in creation. And as he's hanging there, dying, experiencing the wrath of God, a righteous, holy wrath poured out on him, don't you think he understands the depth of your broken relationship as he himself cries out to those who, even as he's there naked, dying this shameful death, insulting him, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus understands. He came for the purpose of reconciling us to God, a reconciliation that seemed impossible. And indeed, with man it is. He did it perfect. And now, he, through his preached word, calls all men and women, believers in Christ, that when we come to offer that gift, this gift of worship, and we there remember that we have these relationships that are broken, that we must go and seek reconciliation. But it's hard. It's hard. It's terrifying. You don't know what the other party might do. But let me encourage you with this. The Lord is not calling you to fear the other person. The Lord is calling you to fear himself. The fear of what another person might do or say, how they might respond, often leaves us in a place of paralysis where we don't do what Jesus has told us to do. Once again, their anger towards us, our insult of them, whatever it's been, has us in a place where we simply often won't go. Jesus is saying, fear God. Fear the one with a holy reverence that is saying, it matters to me. It matters to me so much so that if you're in the middle of worshiping me, let me wait. Let Jesus wait. Let God wait. And you go and be reconciled. And when you are, then come. You see, and I'm going to talk about this more next week. We often treat worship as a way in which we get a hall pass to not do the very thing that God is calling us to do. He will have none of it. He is calling us to do something so radical in pursuing that reconciliation. Here's what it means. If you are on your way to church and you're a family, and I've heard this happens, that the family might not get along so well on the way to church. I have heard that sometimes a husband might say a sharp thing to a wife or a wife to a husband. Why do you always make us late? I would like to enter the sanctuary with a calm, peace mind. I don't want to go in at 11:10. Why can't you get here on time? And suddenly a debate's happening. If there is deep brokenness between you as you pull in the parking lot, the temptation will be for the doors of the car to shut and you to practice a really well-glossed Pharisaism. Turn it on, kids. Turn it on, honey. I'll turn it on, too. How are you all? We're great. Great day. How about the Rangers? Wasn't good last night. Maybe tonight. How about Jesus? Woo, love Jesus. Don't come through the doors. Make a few laps around the sanctuary. Pray and teach your kids that God cares about the condition of your relationships before you enter these doors. He does. And if you're not willing to take that serious, then stand up and walk out. Stop. It won't be worth it anyway. He's not hearing your noise. I told you it was bold. Some of you are probably angry at me. But I have to tell the truth. And the truth is what Jesus has said. And the truth is what we must seek. If you take Jesus serious here, I know it will be terrifying. But can I just quickly tell you how beautiful it would be? It will be so beautiful because you will be moving outside of yourself, depending on a God to carry you towards that reconciliation. And you know what will happen if you faithfully obey him? His power, his strength, indeed, his reconciliation to you is going to give you the things you need to do what he wants. And here's what will happen. All of the Beatitudes that we have been studying are suddenly going to be ripe and present before you and in you. Because this is what you will see. If you say, Lord, I will do it. Before next Sunday, I will seek that reconciliation. Yes, the enemy will say, be afraid because they're not going to respond well. But I'm telling you through the words of Christ, fear God, not man. If you, as you seek to do that, here's what you will see. That, oh, you yourself are poor in spirit. You are. So am I. You will see that you should mourn the condition of your soul, the condition of sin in the world, mourn the condition of the relationship that's so broken. You will see that there will be a meekness that comes over you, and that there's strength in that meekness, that you are not really worthy anyway. And then you will see that in you, there's a hunger and a thirst that's growing. You even prayed it in our confession of sin today. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. And then you will see mercy swelling up in you towards another who is poor in spirit, to another who should be mourning their condition, to another who is meek, though they may appear strong. And then you will have, by God's grace, a purity of heart that enables you to say, blessed are the peacemakers, and I am seeking that peace. But likely, you may experience that last of the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This earth is not your kingdom. The fear of another and their response to you pursuing reconciliation. If you seek not to pursue that reconciliation, you're seeking to build your kingdom. To seek his kingdom and understand his gifts will enable you to go with his power and with his blessings. Why is it that Jesus would compare this to murder? I want to give you an example. So please bear with me. In the late 1980s, I received, I guarantee you, the worst phone call I probably will ever receive. It was from a 15-year-old girl. It was on my home line. We didn't have cell phones yet. And she was so distraught that I could not make out a word that she was saying. A few words occasionally would come through, but not much. She didn't live far from me, and so I knew the best thing for me to do was to just hang up the phone and quickly drive to her house, 5 or 10 minutes away. When I pulled into their cul-de-sac, I saw 5 police cars, lights going everywhere. More were coming. I saw this young girl laying face down in the grass of her front yard with people surrounding her. I didn't know what I was walking into. When I got there, she grabbed me and sobbed. I couldn't understand her. And then one of the officers said to me, her stepdad just murdered her mom and took his own life. Both of those people were members of our church. About a year before, they became members. Both incredible stories of rescue. Her mom had cut my hair. She was my stylist the night before. Anger was in them. Anger was brewing. Nobody knew. And it led to an unbelievable act. A 15-year-old girl, a 13-year-old boy, left without their mother and their stepdad. In that church, within a week, there were two memorial services. One for her mom and one for her stepdad. Can you imagine the chaos and conflict? What was going on in that body? It was awful. The church came together. And it was beautiful as people tried to make sense of this horrible deal. It was murder. And it was awful. Within a year, there was a different type of murder that took place. It was a murder that began to happen between members of this church as anger and insult began to be rooted deeply in people who then felt, because of a self-righteousness, that they were right about so many things that they would speak against another group. A church that was founded in the middle 1980s by three families, which had grown in about 5 to 6 years to almost 2,000 members, was suddenly on the brink of falling apart. Deep anger, incredible insults, much harsh statements one to another began to tear it apart. And what ended up happening was a bloodbath of people in a congregational meeting shouting things one to another in the most vicious way. That's actually why I left that church and entered into the PCA. That church had so much carnage that now, 20 years later, it's a church that barely has 150 to 200 people worshiping Sunday after Sunday. Our tongues, our anger, our insults matter to God. When we don't seek to be reconciled to those with whom we have difference, and we come to worship and act like it's no big deal, He is not pleased. He will have none of it. It will create carnage. And so if and when those moments happen in your life, and they will in mine, we must obey Christ and simply do what He said to do. Stop. Leave. Go and be reconciled. And what will happen? It's possible that reconciliation will take place and a story of rescue will unfold. If the person you're seeking to be reconciled with won't reconcile, still, there's a story of rescue in your life that you were obedient to the words of Christ and you went, but you can't do it in your own power. You can't. So if you know there's a relationship like that that's so broken, go in the power of the one who reconciled Himself to you. Go in the power of Christ. Go in His strength. And if you still sense such terror that you just cannot do it alone, please, please ask me, other pastors, our elders to help. If you have been seeking reconciliation with someone and you wonder if you've gone far enough and you just don't know, don't figure that out alone. Ask for help. Invite elders into your life to say, we're with you. We will help you discern the voice of God on this issue. But don't treat this issue as if you have an hall pass because your circumstances are so dire to say, Jesus didn't mean this for me. He meant it for all of us. And there is beauty. Beauty in reconciliation and seeking it. I don't want you to open your hymnal yet, but I want to tell you what you're about to sing. If you walk out of here today saying, I'm going to go get reconciled, it's all on me, I get the strength to do it, you miss it. Jesus is saying, look to me. Look to my righteousness. Know that I have covered you, and in my strength go. So sing these words loudly, for they proclaim the truth of the gospel. And time again, you will say the statement that we seek to flee. Flee to your Savior, who will give you the strength you need. Let's stand now and close by worshiping God with this great hymn. The Lord has prompted in you a relationship that you must seek to reconcile, then do what we have been singing. Flee to Him and His righteousness. Flee and rest in Him and do that courageous work of obediently following Him. But know this, as you go, His face, the one who has reconciled you to Him, is shining up on you. He will be pleased. Lift your eyes to heaven towards the one who tells us so. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.